Our top of funnel MQLs that are coming into the pipe, that is just absolute gold for us. And it has been from the beginning.
That's Brandon Healy, the Senior VP of Sales and Marketing at SumoQuote, a quoting software that was acquired by JobNimbus late last year and doing a great job. By keying in on their industry and leaning deep into their free trial processes and the sales approach, they found ways to efficiently drive an extremely high conversion rate.
We work to perfect the free trial into the demo process. So our free trial to new customer conversion was 33% across the board from the start of the company.
In this episode, Brandon will explain how their unique trial and demo formula works, the stack he's using to power it, and he'll tell the story of how SumoQuote was spun out of a roofing company and into a successful SaaS business. I'm Dan, the CEO of the leading tech stack agency, McGaw. Each week, I speak to executives to find out the strategies and the stack they're using to drive revenue. Make sure you hit that subscribe button to get the information you need to grow your company quickly. Let's get into Brandon's episode.
Yeah, so SumoQuote got started a little bit before I entered the picture. It was originally a bit of a pet project of a roofing company, a big roofing company here in Calgary. Our CEO was the previous sales director there, leading a bunch of sales guys. He's a super innovative, entrepreneurial guy by nature. And they took a risk and invested to build out a bit of an MVP product. Got wildly lucky finding an amazing team of developers to be able to build out MVP 1. 2019 came around and our CEO worked on initial sales and initial kind of go-to-market, just grinding on his own for the year. And towards the end of the year, had enough early signals to bring on our CTO full-time right at the end of 2019. And then I was hired and started right at the beginning of 2020 to lead the sales side of things. And now 4 years later, we've been grown. We've now got a team of 36, 37, just been acquired by one of the companies that was one of our excellent partners from the integration side of things, a big CRM in the exterior contracting space. Now we're part of that family.
I find it interesting, right? Like you see service-based businesses like a contractor company, like a roofing contractor, that then build their own software to kind of solve a problem and a need they have. And then that ends up getting rolled out and becoming its own company. I have a buddy who's from Canada. He owned like the largest landscaping company there, and they built a software to help run their landscaping business. And now that company is much larger than his landscaping company. So it's kind of intriguing to see how that works, but it's like, when you are the ICP, it makes it easy to build the product because you know what matters. So it's really intriguing to see how y'all have done that too.
Totally. Well, and my background prior to getting in the tech space, if you wind back 4 years before I was part of the team at SumoQuote and before I got into software at all, I was in the contracting space. I had a contracting company, built, grew, ran a contracting company, small painting and exterior finishing company. You know, was able to work on the coaching side of things for a franchise that taught and educated young entrepreneurs on how to be able to build out contracting businesses. And I had done thousands of in-home quotes and estimates and sales with homeowners. So when it came to me leading the growth of SumoQuote, which is a quoting and sales tool for contractors, I knew the ICP very intimately as well. And so that really, my previous career really lent itself super well to being able to join in, start building some systematic growth and scale. Now that I had a whole pile of new skill sets and tool sets in the tech space to be able to take conventional selling and really turn it into a scalable process-based selling that tech really thrives on and really allowed us to just nail our messaging, nail our sales approach, nail our marketing approach, and just really grow it and blow it up.
Yeah. Well, tell me, I mean, naturally, you've been doing a lot of interesting work. You come from the space. I guess like when you think about the major KPIs or metrics that you're typically focused on to grow the business, what would those metrics be?
We've got a free trial model. So trials coming in, additional qualified leads coming in. I obsess about that and look, I'm looking at that every day. And so our top of funnel MQLs that are coming into the pipe, that is just absolute gold for us. And it has been from the beginning. So we work to perfect the free trial into the demo process. So that was just super efficient. And so our free trial to new customer conversion was 33% across the board from the start of the company. So when we had somebody who was trying out the software, we knew that we had the sales chops and the ability to connect with them on that SME type plane. The other thing was that because as we got into selling it, we knew that that 33% conversion rate was something that was very consistent. We used that as a good representation of how well did we take advantage of last month's MQLs. And if it was the case that it started slipping, it would also speak to a bit of an indication of lead quality. So then we would say, hey, what is it that we did differently with our marketing and our targeting to be able to start seeing that conversion slip? And then, of course, we keep an eye on close rate and also our demo attendance, because I think that that speaks to speed to lead and also just our qualification quality. And then on the other end of it, we looked at our logo, net revenue retention, and some of those pieces when it came to overall health. As an overall metric in terms of customer enjoyment and how well our product was solving people's problems, we used our Net Promoter Score for that as well. Our last Net Promoter Score that we did was 67% as a rating. So we knew that people loved our product, they loved using it, and it was really just a matter of keeping an eye on some of those key indicators for us anyway. The reason why I care about it is, for one, I mean, I was privileged that I'm on the executive team. So the overall health of the company is something that's still underneath my purview alongside the other senior leaders on the team. But the NRR one is important because I think it really speaks to the quality of the person that you're bringing in. And so it really allowed us to have good conversations about narrowing our ICP, on making sure that our sales team isn't over closing. We had things like clawbacks if it was the case that we had fast churns. And that NRR and logo retention really affected sales team's morale. But it also affected it in a way that's like saying, hey, the reason why you're getting clawed back is because the people they're getting close suck. We keep an eye on that. And that way we knew that we were actually getting better at the entire funnel in terms of, hey, not only is it which leads are coming in, which trials are starting, of course, that's marketing's primary KPI, then how many of those are we closing and how effectively? But the squeeze of saying we care about logo retention really put back pressure on sales to say, oof, man, this just cost me some commission because I got a clawback. And then that puts pressure back on marketing to say, hey, those leads sucked. Why did you send me those? It's a very holistic push when you actually have a metric that starts putting pressure on sales commissions.
Now, you mentioned this clawback, right? And how this impacted. Tell me a little bit more about what you mean with the clawback. Because naturally, like, I understand the premise of a clawback. We're pulling money back from a rep. But I guess, like, in your situation, why would a clawback be happening in relation to NRR? Like, what's happening there?
We've got a very similar clawback to what a lot of other companies do, where if a churn happens within the first 3 months, you know, sorry, sales guy, but that commission doesn't stick. So we had that in place because of the nature of our tool was a sales tool. Like, we are a sales tool. So not only is it the case that we show people a better way how to sell deals as customers, but the profile of sales leader that we brought into the organization, our CEO, very sales-oriented leader, myself, I've been in sales my entire career. And then my sales team that I brought in, several of them were even part of different contracting businesses that I had been on the coaching team of. So we had a huge sales skill set of people who understood the ICP, who understood how to sell into this market. So overselling was a huge risk, for sure. And so for us, being able to stay strong on clawbacks was really a comment of saying, hey, we know that you can actually close an inappropriate amount of people, even people who don't have this problem meaningfully. So we put that in place and then used the long-term retention of customers as an indication more of, are we selling to the right people? And are we bringing the right people into the company versus it being punitive? Because we knew that, man, if it was the case that we didn't have it, we would be selling 5-8% more each month, but it would be crap. It's about a quarter to a third of our customers ended up being annual subscribers, but out of the gates, it was only about 10%. So they would progressively, as they fall in love with the tool, shift towards more of an annual agreement. But for us, because we had the monthly option, because we had a free trial, it was just such an easy way to get people just to, just give it a shot. Try it out for a month. Try it out for 2 months. And for salespeople, really, really easy way to get a credit card. For customers, really, really deceitful way to get them to start using something that they're just not a good fit for. So because we had a very strong sales skill set, we had to constantly check and balance that a bit.
So going back to free trials, right? Naturally, that's like the leading indicator of where you're successful. When you think about all of your goals, free trials being the leading one, like what are your current growth projects or initiatives that you're doing to kind of drive that metric forward?
So maybe let me wind back to about a year ago. I took over the marketing function at the end of 2022. Our numbers were basically 5-10% up each month, year over year. And we noticed that our ads were not performing. We knew we needed to level up our brand and our brand presence on the web. And we wanted to work with Webflow because Webflow had just been such a game changer in terms of speed and in terms of the connectedness that you could have for landing pages, into calendars, into leveraging webhooks and things like that to pass it into workflows in ways that WordPress was very limited.
When you say speed, are you saying like speed of implementation? Because like naturally load times come to my mind when you say speed, but are you talking more about your ability to be agile and create stuff?
I'd say yes to both. And I would add one more to your list, which is just the speed of future scalability. So speed of loading, sure. Performance of website always speaks very highly to a company. In addition, a big partner strategy was part of our growth. So we would connect with other tools and we would integrate with them at times. Sometimes we would just build informal lead sharing relationships. And so being able to spool up unique landing pages instantly that were on brand, super fast, made our partners look like heroes and made us look like total champs. Being able to spool those up super quickly and then integrate those into our workflows with a very small team at a high caliber, Webflow is just the best tool for that. So rebuilt, relaunched our website with Webflow. Last year we had the project, we kicked it off in end of January. We had the whole website live by May. Worked with a Webflow developer group who's kind of one of the Webflow experts there. Found them as a referral through our CRM, and they're just phenomenal. And then after we had that in place, we improved our attribution, improved our targeting, improved a whole pile of our like deliverability of email and things, and then started cranking up our ad spend. And it just like in the low season, typically, we just saw massive growth. So it was like July saw like a 30% year over year growth in logos. Then August was 90%. Then September was 95%. So we started hitting some of our overall highest numbers in the company's history as soon as we'd kind of gotten the whole package together. And now we're stepping into 2024. We just announced a full acquisition, yet we're still selling as a standalone product. And here, January, we were 63% up on last year's January numbers. So just killed it. So we'll probably be at 75-80% year over year growth because of some of those pieces being in place.
I've given Webflow a lot of crap over the years. On the show, I've mentioned at least a half a dozen times that I'm strongly in favor of WordPress. That being said, though, people can change and so can tools. To give Webflow some credit, when they hit the market, it was really innovative, but in my opinion, it was just kind of a new product which had not matured and it didn't meet all the needs of the market. Early on, the reason I dogged Webflow though was because of the limitations it posed for my clients and the market. Yes, it was super fast and easy to use to update pages, but you still needed a designer and a developer to kind of get moving. The moment you wanted to create a custom page, you needed a developer and you had to get a designer to help you with that design process. Not much different than WordPress, if you ask me. They also did not have their app marketplace as mature as it is today. 5 years ago, it was a ghost town compared to what it is today. And they had some weird issues with not being able to add forms to certain pages. They had no ability for pop-ups and it was extremely limited on how you would use JavaScript on pages. For me, the lack of integrations was the nail in the coffin. I was not even willing to touch the tool. And I had to go through this process with some of my clients. At the time, and even compared to today, WordPress is still a much more mature product. Now, I know WordPress has its faults. Our site, Magal.io, got hacked a few weeks ago through one of the plugins. That sucked, but the overall experience wasn't bad because we had backups and it was kind of easy to fix. Another important factor, though, that you have with WordPress is that you can find any developer on a freelancer site, and the cost to build and maintain WordPress is extremely low. Meanwhile, Webflow is a competitive market where finding talent is much more expensive. But like I said, things can change. Webflow trudged along and they have improved dramatically. I'm definitely not ready to switch teams right now and go onto the Webflow side of the business, but I'm not warning people nearly as much as I used to. And this kind of leads to the point I want to make here. Being innovative is potentially hugely rewarding, but it can also mean putting your half-baked, buggy product and all these opportunities in failure. I cannot tell you the number of tools we've used which we've had to replace because they failed, they got acquired, the product didn't innovate quickly enough. There's just a lot of reasons to not move forward with brand new products. When building your stack, it's totally okay to take some risks and go for some of the new innovative stuff, but only know that you're going to make some risks and you have to understand those risks beforehand. Also, your whole stack better not be built on a new and shiny tool because it's going to ultimately fail and you're just setting yourself up for some headaches. All right, now enough of me. Perhaps this is the end of my beef with Webflow, but I'm still building all of my websites on WordPress. Let's get back to Brandon and find out what integrations he's using to run his attribution projects.
So full disclosure, we have a brilliant product team here, like just a brilliant, amazing product team. They built like our own little JavaScript cookie that we could customize and we could change what it would store and how it would store it so that it would move around through our landing page system, our partner pages, our pricing pages in a way that worked for us. I still don't understand the wizardry behind a developer who just sits down in an afternoon's like, sure, I'll just build a first party cookie for you. Because like, of course, that the third party cookies and a lot of that tracking is starting to become a lot harder. So we call it sumo.js, sumo quote JavaScript. And we made it so that, of course, anytime that somebody would arrive on our website, we would capture their referrer source saying, where did you come from? And that would be permanent. And then whatever page it is that they arrived on, that would say their first URL. We would capture that. That would also be permanent so that we could always see where are people coming from, where are they coming to generally. And then landing pages for partners, we found that what mattered more than which partner did they come from was more important what partner did they choose to book a demo or start a trial from. And so we allowed that to be a fluid thing so that the landing page URL would constantly shift so that if they came from, say, JobNimbus, great CRM, or CompanyCam, or another partner provider or something like that, that URL would constantly change until they took a step, and then we considered that a conversion URL. Whenever it was that they booked a demo or they started a trial, then whichever URL it was that they made that, that got locked in as a conversion URL. And then this gave us this little breadcrumb of different referrers to be able to start getting better attribution.
So, I mean, some of the things you're talking about, naturally, you're using Webflow for the website and things like that. You've got a lot of data. So naturally, tag managers, piping your data, it seems that Google Analytics and then as well as Facebook. You talked about Mixpanel is really only on the product, so it's not on the marketing site. But I'm intrigued. One of the things you had talked about before is like somebody goes from a free trial, they then become an MQL, they then go to a demo. Naturally, somebody's able to sign up in Calendly on your stack and then they are sent into something. But how do they become an MQL? Like, what is the definition of an MQL? Is there a lead scoring in some sort of tool that does that?
We've got a pretty rudimentary. Well, we consider an MQL currently when somebody starts a trial or when they come in through a qualified list. And we've got a significant enough partner flow that either it's a list or it's a referral in some way through a variety of different landing pages. So they're either booking a demo from that or they're requesting a trial at that point. And then SQL is as soon as they book a demo. So they can skip the queue by saying, hey, you know what? I just want to get a demo of the product. And they can hop straight in there. However, we work the MQLs of free trials and different lists through our sales development team. to be able to qualify them and then get them booked into a demo, where otherwise calendaring skips the MQL stage and pushes them straight into an SQL. And then the sales team is on them, ready to go. And if they're not an ideal customer, we filter them out of the demos, or we just filter them to a qualifying call at that stage.
And that's, most of the sales team is working on a closed CRM and they're managing most of this pipeline through them. Because I was noticing, like, naturally you have Calendly, which is giving you your ability to do scheduling. You're using Zapier to connect some things around. But it sounds like the sales team is managing most of their pipeline, their flow through closed CRM. And then that's integrating back in with Zapier to then maybe change list segmentation in customer.io.
Yeah, totally. And so we use Zapier as our primary handoff tool and automation tool. We've got a major amount of workflows in that. But Close as a CRM is the first CRM that I've ever worked with that it's like prying something like a teddy bear out of a salesperson's hands. They just will not let it go. They just love it. So they love working in it. It's fast. It's lightweight. So anytime that we get a new lead that comes in from a trial and we pass it into a workflow or something in Close, or we pass off a lead in there, it's got integrated calling, integrated texting, automated emails, email sync, all the good stuff, all the stuff that you need. Their calling and texting is through Twilio. So it's just wicked good. And it allows us to also set up automations to be able to automatically text people as they come in, automatically send voicemails and things like that. Like, there's a lot of really powerful functionality.
Close CRM doesn't get a lot of hype, but in my opinion, it deserves some. It's a way less known tool than its competitors like HubSpot or Salesforce. But to be fair, it's a very popular product all in its own regard. But in the big picture, it's kind of criminally underrated. It's actually founded by Steli Efti, who you may know, but maybe you have no idea. But he's one of the most prolific sales and content creators out there. And if you can imagine, the guy really knows his stuff about sales, which makes sense why the sales community is so excited by Close. The big thing about Close is that it's made by sales folks for sales folks. While HubSpot is a CRM, it's also a suite of all kinds of different tools for many different departments. With HubSpot, you need to add on a lot of plugins from other tools to do what Close.io does out of the box. One of the big things which Close does better than anyone is enabling your sales team to make phone calls, communicate over SMS with prospects, and as well as manage a large volume of prospects in an efficient and effective manner for a much lower cost than HubSpot or Salesforce. Close also makes it easier. It has an email inbox, a calendar product, and a bunch of automation which will push you forward. While some of these things are in HubSpot and Salesforce, I truly have to say the workflow and efficiency of a sales rep is much easier and intuitive in Close. Listen, go to close.io and read their blog. Some of the best content you're going to find is actually on their blog. But enough about me hyping Close. I want to be clear. I use Salesforce at Magaw because of how our business runs and the customizations that I need to have for my team. At UTM.io, another one of my companies, we use HubSpot and we have the marketing automation and CRM suite directly connected, which makes my life easier. While I love Close, and clearly so does Brandon, you have to choose the best tool for your business. And in Brandon's world, Close is much easier for their sales reps. You have to understand, their sales reps are also coming in many cases from a non-technical background, and it needs to be easy and intuitive for them to crush it. So it makes a lot of sense. Let's get back to Brandon though. We're going to find out how he's integrated all of his stack. You can also do this yourself if you jump over to my free tool at stackbuilder.com, where you can get a high-level overview of your company's stack. And me and Brandon went through this together on the call. So let's talk to him.
When I decided to use Close, I was evaluating it next to, of course, the HubSpots, the Pipe Drives, Salesforce, all of that stuff. And I had implemented HubSpot at two previous tech startups. And frankly, I found HubSpot was great. You're paying 4x what you'd pay for other tools. And there are other tools that are better. So Close, for what we needed for a lightning fast CRM, for integrated calling and a tool set that was built for salespeople's workflows, it was just so lovable. And our team just loved it. And all of the automation and workflows that they lacked in the tool, they always launched in Zapier super fast out of the gate. So they had a brand new feature. It was in Zapier before it was even in the tool. So they were always an API first company. So as a result, if it was like, oh, they don't have a good, say they don't have a good deduplication function in the CRM. Well, I just went into Zapier and every time a new lead came in, I would query and create my own dedupe process. And then I would pass it on to new tasks and things like that back into Close. So I used it as the workflow and automation bolt-on that Close didn't have. And frankly, I didn't care. Zapier is so easy to work with, and it's one of my favorite tools of all time, that it worked great. Now, on the email automation side, when I first came, there was nothing. Like, the CEO at the time had set up like a MailChimp account, and it was like sending emails one off on there. It was just terrible. So I started looking in quite deeply to different integrated tool sets for workflows and email marketing and bulk sending. Came across Customer.io, started working on the way, looking at the way that they manage segmentation and the way that they build workflows. And I think it's the only marketing tool that is as good as HubSpot in terms of segmentation and email building and things like that, except it's faster and easier still. And the way that we operated was to alleviate the tech burden of integrating tools. I would always just build it out as a proof of concept with Zapier to integrate all of our data that we needed from Close to Customer.io through Zapier. And then now, frankly, it still works great.
And what are you using SparkPost for?
So we use that to be able to beef up our deliverability. SumoQuote is, as much as it is a quote and proposal tool, it's very much an email tool. We send quotes to homeowners for a living. Like, that's what we do. So our deliverability and our deliverability quality is so good, because the same way that you get an email from DocuSign, people get emails from SumoQuote that are signable contracts. So we actually bolted on a new IP address, a new sending account through SparkPost, so that we could leverage our sending power for marketing to be able to improve our deliverability.
You talked a lot about partners and things like that. I had noticed in your stack you have Referral Sasquatch. So are you using that with like JobNimbus and these other companies, or are you using it just for your customer-to-customer referrals?
We did implement Referral Sasquatch. We actually sunset it here this last summer. But what we were using a Referral Sasquatch for was for trying to be able to get a bit of an in-app flywheel of having our customers who love our product referring their other friends who are contractors to use SumoQuote as well. Sasquatch is an awesome tool. It allows you to build it directly into your app. People don't need to create accounts. They don't need to sign into something to refer other people. They just share their link or text their link, and great. It auto will send them a gift card or some cash or something like that upon referral. So we use that. Admittedly, our market just wasn't as awesome as that. But for partners, we've just implemented Partner Stack. And we're using Partner Stack for trying to enable larger partnership teams to be incentivized and also track links for affiliates and things like that. So I might have missed that one in there, but we kind of have one for in-app, one for partners on the business development side.
Cool. And definitely familiar with Partner Stack as well. Congratulations on the acquisition, right? Like, I think that's super, super awesome for y'all. Keep up the good work. It's going to be interesting to see how this all changes once you guys kind of merge the companies together.
It's going to be a big shift. So we're merging our team of 36 with their team of about 200 or something. We were a point solution, a standalone tool that played nice and integrated well. And there were a few CRMs that were kind of some leading CRMs in the space. But now that we have joined this, it's pretty clear that we are the best tool in the industry. There really isn't anything else like it out there. So we're excited for shaking up the market, blowing it up, and just really dominating in 2024, 2025.
That Partner Stack bit there at the end was pretty cool. By implementing link tracking for larger partnerships and enabling them to expand their reach and build a high-yielding collaboration, it's worked out pretty well for them. It'll be super cool to see how SumoQuote continues to grow after being acquired. For now, let's recap all the takeaways and see what happened in my conversation with Brandon. First, every solution starts with a problem. SumoQuote was founded by a roofing company and it became a win-win product, and it met an unmet need for their company and clearly many others. If there's a gap in the market and you found something that you can fill it with, don't be afraid to follow the lead, right? Because in many chances, there are other people that have that gap too. This is exactly how my company UTM.io got started. It was an internal tool at Magad.io. We spun it out and we now have two other tools we use internally. We plan to spin out sometime this year or next. Secondly, we all know I've had some less than complimentary things to say about Webflow, but I like what Brandon said. It's about being an innovator and understanding where it pays off for you. In my experience, even though Webflow wasn't the first of its kind, it didn't automatically make out to be the best or most effective option for me over the majority of WordPress. But it sounds like it's working out with Webflow, and it's in their stack, and it's proven to be very, very efficient and give them a lot of benefits for them and their partners. Now, I'm not completely sold, but that's not the point I'm trying to make here. You've got to do what's best for you. Lastly, we've got to focus on closed CRM. Like Brandon said, having those automated services like text, calls, and emails is just incredible for keeping in contact with customers. On top of that, being able to record, organize, and prioritize leads in a single dashboard is very, very helpful. So it's no wonder his sales team loves the tool. That's what I've got for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to keep improving your skills. And please leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. This is Dan, and I'll catch you next time.